1-800-288-9227. Good morning, Gary McNamara with Eric Harley.
It is Ask the Law for June 1st, 2009. And we are here with retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol, courtesy of Old Blue USA. And, of course, these statements on this program or comments made by anyone other than trooper are opinions only. Well, now, some of the stuff I'm saying is fact. Some of it. And some of it just outright lies. That's not true. That's just joking. Just joking. AskTheLaw.org, if you want to email a question, they can get it answered for you. And all you have to do is click on the big red button that says Email Ask the Law and do that. Send your email, and they'll get the answer back to you in a timely fashion. Also want to let you know that the answers that you're hearing on the program are up to date as of June 1st, 2009. And, again, you can go to AskTheLaw.org for more. Check out their new, brand new logbook presentation, 2009 logbook presentation there at AskTheLaw.org. AskTheLaw.org. Click on the big red button that says 2009 logbook presentation from Old Blue USA. It's that simple. They've got lots of great stuff, 80 pages of logbook presentations there for you anytime. If you want to get on board right now with your question, regulatory item, get on board with Trooper Dial at 800-288-9227, or you can send us a text at 68683. Make sure you put MRN as the first word. Now, not too long ago, you sent me some information about something that's going on in Minnesota, and I had no idea because I don't drive in Minnesota. But it's called the Driver Fatigue Checklist. OOIDA is now getting involved with this. They have filed a lawsuit. They did this a couple of weeks ago, challenging a Minnesota State Patrol's arbitrary enforcement program used to declare truck drivers fatigued, and they are apparently placing them out of service. What information do you have?
Well, let's put it this way. From what I have been able to read off of the Internet, 90% of the drivers that they used this driver fatigued evaluation checklist on are being placed out of service.
90% where this is being... 90%. Wow. So 90% where this rule is being applied, 90% are going out of service.
Yes.
Do we know how long they're being placed out of service?
10 hours. They're being placed out of service for 10 hours as a fatigue driver.
Wow. That is really... Now, here's, again, from OOIDA, there are a couple of contributors. Jamie Jones, a friend of mine, is a senior editor there at Landline Magazine. You can go to OOIDA.com if you want to read more about their situation. This, by the way, doesn't have this lawsuit. It's not affiliated in any way with Old Blue USA. But according to this release here from OOIDA, the discovery of a seemingly random checklist of items that supposedly indicated fatigue did more than just raise an eyebrow at the Owner-Operator Independent Drivers Association. The list included things like the presence of a TV, reading material, a cell phone, just to name a few. These were signs of fatigue.
Yes.
That were being used. In other words, indicators by the law enforcement officials in Minnesota.
You're telling me if you have a TV or a cell phone, that was a sign?
That was a sign of fatigue. In other words, they're saying that it's possible you've been watching TV or you've been on the cell phone or you've been reading material. Who doesn't have reading material in their truck?
Yes.
That's strange. All right. That was just the tip of the iceberg, according to this release. The association immediately began to dig in and find out that the enforcement program not only lacked medical or scientific justification, but also infringed on truckers' civil and constitutional rights. Again, this special report from OOIDA, not affiliated with Old Blue USA, but I wanted to bring it to you because some of the concerns being brought up here obviously are shared by us at the Midnight Radio Network. The association's findings were highlighted in an in-depth investigation by Landline Now host Mark Reddick that aired in April. I have talked to Mark Reddick in the past couple of weeks. I did not talk to him about this situation, but I plan to follow up as I will be at their headquarters in just a couple of weeks.
Yep.
I will be there. The Rotella Super Rigs is taking place on I-70, the Oak Grove Petro there on I-70, just down the road from OOIDA's offices. So I plan to find out as much as I can about here. The state's enforcement procedures, which led to arbitrary determinations of driver fatigue, are challenged in the lawsuit on constitutional grounds, the lack of due process and warrantless search and seizure. That goes into other areas. But what I'm really concerned about is the application of such a checklist. So the question becomes, let's talk about your experience. Again, retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol. In the past, was there any kind of mental checklist? I guess it's fairly obvious when someone's too tired. But when it appears they're too tired, what are you looking for if you think a driver is too fatigued to be driving that rig? And did you ever in your 3 decades of on the road experience ever place anyone out of service for fatigue?
No, I never did. Like I say, I've had situations where you get behind someone that has been operating a commercial vehicle, and you see them drifting from one side to the other side.
Right.
And you get up there and look at their logbook, and you can tell that they're getting close to the maximum number of hours that they're driving.
The numbers tell the story.
So the numbers tell the story, as far as using this checklist that Minnesota came up with, no, I never did use that. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Did you make your bed this morning when you got up?
Actually, I didn't make it this evening when I got out of it because my wife was getting into it.
That, according to the checklist, is a sign of a fatigued driver.
Sign of a fatigued driver, according to the Minnesota checklist.
Did you haul the trash out today? Is the trash can full at the house?
I actually did haul it out this afternoon, but there's more trash in it.
That's another sign of a fatigued driver.
I've got the trash bags right now lined up in the kitchen. The bed was not made when I left last night, but I did launder all the bed clothes yesterday. Does that count?
Well, by the way, OOIDA is suing high-ranking officers in the Minnesota State Patrol, including the captain who developed the procedures, and officers who made arbitrary determinations of fatigue arrived at during the interview process.
And if you will remember, what was it, three months ago, we had a driver that called in and was asking, and he had just finished a 10-hour break,
mm-hmm.
had started down the road, went through a checkpoint. The officer looks over and sees a bottle of the 5-hour energy drink,
right,
puts him out of service again for another 10 hours. That is an indication.
All right, okay. What about coffee? Everyone drinks coffee. People sometimes just like the taste of coffee.
Yeah, it didn't. As far as I know, that was not one of the ones that they that they listed. But
and I guess my question is a rhetorical question, and obviously you don't have any hands-on experience in enforcing this rule in Minnesota.
Right.
We want to make that clear.
But any of the energy drinks, anything that soda pops that have the high caffeine,
right?
Those were all indicators of a fatigue driver.
Jolt Cola.
Wow.
Double the sugar, double the caffeine, I believe, was their advertisement.
Jolt is for wimps. Come on. Get you a couple dozen of those Red Bulls there. Okay, but and that becomes a real concern. Now, I should say that those of us here on the Midnight Radio Network, excluding Senior Trooper Monty Dial, by the way, are concerned about this type of enforcement. It really becomes concerning to me when you're talking about the presence of a TV, reading material, a cell phone, because those aren't signs of fatigue. To me, that's signs that a driver lives in their truck,
yes,
which they do.
Yes.
So that's a really, wow, really, and there's no medical or scientific justification.
No.
It just doesn't, it really seems like this was just, all right.
Another thing that I was going to get to is if the driver, and here again, the driver was led to believe that this was a voluntary questionnaire. If the driver refused to answer the questionnaire,
right,
then they turned around and threatened to do a level one inspection.
Wow.
Sure, this isn't the U.S. Treasury Department.
that is really, really strange.
The driver pulls in, you know, they have him pull over and park, bring all this stuff inside.
Right.
And the trooper there in Minnesota would, you know, start asking the driver questions. And the latest I've heard is because of the lawsuit, now then they don't even make reference to mm-hmm. the checklist.
Right.
But yet he's supposed to ask pretty much the same questions.
Right.
Trying to determine whether or not the driver is or is not fatigued. And if the driver says, I'm not going to answer your questions, then the deal came up, well, okay, we're going to do a level one inspection.
Wow. That's really, well, we'll keep you up to date as far as this lawsuit is concerned with OIDA in Minnesota, and I'll find out if I can, if there's any official information that I can find out when I visit their headquarters at OIDA here in just a couple of weeks. I'll talk with the senior editor there, Jamie Jones at Landline Magazine, who I'm certain is on all over this, along with Mark Reddick, and we will talk more about that. Also, coming up here in just a few minutes, if you want to get on board, 800-288-9227. Something that is kind of similar. We got an email, or a text rather, where and again, this is anecdotal evidence, but what is considered a DUI, a DWI, and how that is all classified and everything else. So stand by for that. If you want to get on board, you can do that right now at 800-288-9227. You've got a regulatory question for retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol. We'd love to hear from you. We'll get all the answers as we can. And you can also send us a text at 68683 and make sure you put MRN as the first word. We'll get that on for you as well. Ask the Law returns in just a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's Midnight Radio Network, 800-288-9227, and Ask the Law. Gary McNamara, Eric Carley.
And retired senior trooper Monty Dial, the Texas Highway Patrol, is here, courtesy of Old Blue USA. All the answers that you hear on today's program are up to date as of June 1st, 2009, can change without notice. Go to askthelaw.org. For more details and to submit questions right there at the website, click on the big red button. Also, comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered opinions only. 800-288-9227.
Let's talk to Gene on 75 in Ohio. Gene, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network, and you're on with Trooper Dial. Welcome. Hi.
Good morning. I have a question for the trooper. When you're on the road and you're taking a 34-hour break, and how much can you or can you move around with your tractor if you're empty? You're not hauling any product. You're just empty, but you're in between.
Well, Gene, always, and we get this question from time to time, both on the radio and through the Ask the Law email. And I always tell them that there's two examples in an interpretation that can be found in 395.8 question 26. One has to do with while you're en route. The other one has to do with when you arrive back at your terminal, you drop the trailer, and you bobtail home and go back. I always tell everybody, follow those two rules. Now, this is not to say that you cannot move around with an empty trailer. However, there are some DOT inspectors out there that consider even though you have an empty trailer, it is still classed as a laden vehicle.
Mm.
So if you're bobtailing and you're, let's say that you're in the middle of a trip and you decide that you're bumping the 70 hours and you want to stop and take your 34-hour reset, you can drop the trailer and you can go down to your local convenience store, you can go shopping, you can go to a movie. All of this can be logged as off-duty, and you can use it to accumulate your 34-hour reset. Likewise, if you arrive back at the terminal and you drop the trailer and you're bobtailing home, your trip going home can be counted as off-duty towards your 34-hour reset.
Okay. Yeah, do these new Qualcomms and stuff, you know, you can't move an inch. What, and I didn't know if you, once you started your 34, if you could actually move to the restaurant or whatever.
Oh, sure you can. But here again, it's something that you and the company are going to have to sit down and make sure that there is some type of notation so that when either a state partner or a federal auditor comes in, that you don't get dinged for a false log.
All right. Thank you so much. Do appreciate that. Back with Senior Trooper Monty Dial, retired of the Texas Highway Patrol, on Ask the Law in just a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network. Radio Network and Ask the Law. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
And Senior Trooper Monty Dial, retired of the Texas Highway Patrol, is here for June 1st, 2009. All answers are up to date as of today and can change without notice. You can go to askthelaw.org for more. And got a question for you. In fact, R.J. Taylor of Old Blue USA called in and wanted me to pass along a question about using the truck for personal conveyance and fueling and what drivers need to know about that, because we kind of touched on that topic before. But let's go back to the phones right now at 800-288-9227.
Let's go to Raymond in California on I-8. Hi, Raymond. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, the question is, after going off duty, what's the distance you can drive with or without a trailer?
Here again, Raymond, in the example that I always refer people back to, there is no mileage given. It's something that you're going to have to get a feel from the DOT officers or inspectors in the area that you operate. If they will let you go 100 miles, and they say you go more than 100 miles, you can't do it. That's their interpretation or their opinion of what that interpretation says. But in the interpretation, it does not give any example of a mileage on how far a driver can or cannot go.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. Do appreciate that. Now, using the truck for personal conveyance. Now, can the driver fuel up while they're using that truck for personal conveyance?
No. Anytime. If you go back in 395.2, and you start looking up the definition of servicing a vehicle. Servicing a vehicle includes fueling. So if you stop and purchase fuel for that vehicle while you are during a 10-hour break,
yeah,
or while you are in a 34-hour reset, you have just broken that 10-hour break or 34-hour reset.
Okay. All right, so you want to make sure you fuel up before you start that.
Yes, and
break.
In fact, we had a question that came in where someone had called into a radio show, and they were told that there's an interpretation in 395.1 that says that if the function that you are performing takes you less than 15 minutes,
mm-hmm.
all you have to do is draw your flag, show the city and the state and the amount of time.
Hmm.
The problem is the driver was in the sleeper berth. Well, he claimed that it only took him 5 or 6 minutes to pull down there because they needed to put some fuel in the reefer to keep the reefer from running out.
Right.
And the person that was answering the question says, yeah, you can do that. The only problem is servicing a vehicle can only be performed on duty.
Right.
So the only way that you can take and show a flag with time as if you are on the driving line.
Hmm.
So if you're up on line one or you're on line two and you go purchase fuel, you have just broken that rest period.
Let's talk about DUI, DWI, and what Mike refers to by text, Mike in Iowa, who points out that he safely pulled off to the side of the road to text us.
Thank you, Mike.
Just wanted to let you and other drivers know.
Yeah.
And we thank you. If you're going to send a text, make sure you are pulled over safely before you do that at 68683. Put MRN as the first word. Now, he refers to it, he's talking about a friend who took a class for OWI. Is that operating while intoxicated? Does that sound familiar?
I'm not sure. A lot of states make reference to a DWI, driving while intoxicated.
Right.
Some of them use DUI, driving right. under the influence.
Yeah.
So it's just going to be a matter of how your state.
Right. Now, a judge who is a friend of mine explained it to, and deals with this primarily with youngsters who are many of them under 21
yes.
in Texas, said that in Texas, the difference between DUI and DWI has to do with the age. Is that right?
No. What happens in Texas is if you have someone that is under the age of 21,
right.
it's a DUI minor,
okay.
driving under the influence minor.
Right.
And here again, you get back into a situation where any detectable amount ends up being a DUI minor.
But someone over 21 can get a DUI in Texas.
Most of it in Texas, if it's a DUI, you were driving under the influence probably of drugs. If you're under alcohol, it's driving while intoxicated.
Oh, interesting.
DWI.
All right. So the question from Mike says, all right, now this a friend of his was in a class. Again, this is anecdotal evidence, and maybe his friend relayed it wrong. Maybe his friend didn't understand. He says there were a few people in the class that had this charge against them because they were on a cell phone. Now, Mike thinks that this is a great idea. Is this done often? Is it a discretionary thing? Have you ever heard of that? Someone's operating while this OWI charge?
This may be one of the new charges that are coming up. I know that trying to keep track of just the laws introduced in Texas,
mm-hmm.
There were some that they were trying to bring up to where would make it an offense if you were talking on a cell phone, you were texting while you were driving. I know that there are some other states out there that are already ahead of Texas that make it illegal to talk on a cell phone or text.
Right. Okay, here is, according to, and Mike, maybe this can add to it, I went to the Iowa DOT, which is iowadot.gov. Iowa's OWI, it is operating while intoxicated law, states that it is unlawful to operate a motor vehicle in Iowa in any of the following conditions. Again, this according to iowadot.gov. While under the influence of an alcoholic beverage or any other drug or a combination of such substances, while having an alcoholic concentration of 0.08 or more, while having any amount of controlled substance in one's body. What I have to wonder is maybe the people that were in this class, maybe they were drunk and on the phone.
Could have been.
It just happens to be that they were on the cell phone, but that
right.
wasn't really where the charge stemmed from.
Right. And here again, you know, various states have different ways to show what a driver is being arrested for.
Hmm.
This particular one, they show operating while intoxicated.
Yeah.
So that's where the OWI comes in. Some of them say driving. I know that, what is it, up in Pennsylvania, where they have a lot of the Amish people, they're getting the youngsters up there, they're getting intoxication arrest for operating their buggies.
Interesting.
While intoxicated.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Interesting. All right, back with Trooper Dial here in just a moment. I'm going to go over some more things about what you need to know at askthelaw.org. Again, if you weren't here earlier, they've got a brand-new logbook presentation. I want to tell you about that. And what they'll be doing there, Trooper Dial, R.J. Taylor, and others will be at the Great West Truck Show in Las Vegas coming up here in just a few weeks, so we want to talk about that. In fact, you'll be there before we talk to you next. It will be at the end of this month in June at Great West Truck Show in Vegas. In just a moment.
I guess there's one more question here on the Amish. You're driving their bike. I mean, they don't need a license, do they?
No, they don't.
If they refuse, you can't take away their buggy license because there is. I'm not trying to make a joke. I was just wondering about how the law would deal with that.
Right. Well, but I've seen where a man was actually pulled over for operating a riding lawnmower.
Yes.
I don't know what state he was in, but it's one of these viral videos that gets over the YouTube. Next thing you know,
I think that was in Denton.
Yeah.
The constable.
I may have been my son-in-law. And again, it applies here where you don't have to have a license in order to operate that vehicle.
No.
But it's still an offense.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. And that may be why Iowa goes with operating while intoxicated.
Right.
You know, rather than driving.
Well, that's true because there's obviously a lot of farm equipment there.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, just going to have to watch those tractors there on I-80 when I'm up there here in a few weeks. All right.
If you're riding a bicycle built for two, and you're the person in the back that's intoxicated.
And you're drunk, but the person actually driving is not. Well,
the person in front is steering.
Hey, give us enough time. We'll come up with the most ridiculous questions we can. But you know what? As soon as we do, I bet there's a situation out there just like that.
I was just thinking somebody in law enforcement probably has dealt with that at
one
time.
But I'd love to hear it. Get on board. 800-288-9227. Send us a text at 68683. Put MRN as the first word. Back with Ask the Law and Senior Trooper Monty Dial, retired of the Texas Highway Patrol, in just a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network. Eric Harley, Gary McNamara, Ask the Law, retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial. Monty, a question here just because I know of the change going on. People in New York and Michigan and Washington State and all the other border states up there know about it, that today is the change, at least if you're a civilian and you want to cross the border, you either have to have the enhanced new license or use your passport. Does that affect trucking in any way?
Yes, it does.
So they're going to have the same thing.
Yes.
What about do we know anything about the Free and Secure Trade Program, which was the fast truck program where drivers were able to get that? Do we know if that applies? Because I know the new enhanced ID also works. The enhanced driver's license will work, or you can get your passport. Do we know anything? Have we heard anything on the FAST program?
No, I have not. My understanding is the FAST nor the TWIC will suffice as identification for the border crossing.
Wow. So you should know that. Of course, there was a lot more of that trade going on here not too long ago. There's the trade, in fact, NAFTA trade is down. Recently, I read that report, but you can bet that it will be back again at some point. We still have plenty that are crossing the borders, but you should know that that law goes into effect today, June 1st.
June the 1st. They were supposed to have gone in earlier, but a lot of the agencies were caught short with the amount of time that it took to get the passport.
Right. Yeah.
So now then, they said we've extended it, but as of June the 1st, which was today, is law.
It's law.
And if you go across and you don't have a passport, good luck in getting back.
All right, a couple of things. Remember, there is a logbook presentation, brand new logbook presentation, and a good chunk of that deals with split sleeper berth, the 2 and 8, 8 and 2, whichever way you want to do it, at askthelaw.org. Go to askthelaw.org. It's a brand new logbook presentation. Click on the big blue button that says 2009 logbook presentation. And then June 25th through the 27th, look for OBLU USA along with Senior Trooper Monty Dial, retired of the Texas Highway Patrol, and Staff Sergeant Jim Brokaw, as well as other law enforcement officials there with the OBLU USA team. They'll be at booth 1010. 1060 and 1065 there in Las Vegas, Nevada, coming up June 25th through the 27th. Trooper Dial, thank you so much, and
yes,
we'll do it again next month.
Next month, don't we'll be here.
Don't forget, Ask the Law, every first Monday right here on the Midnight Radio Network.
800-288-9227.